loading in 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It's the cure for the common restaurant. Expert interviews, tools, and tips to get you the restaurant you know it can be. Now, here is your host, Donald Burns, the Restaurant Coach.
And welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It is the cure for the common restaurant. This episode was taken from a live Facebook interview with the doctor of customer service, Andrew Carlson. Now, there's quite a few gold nuggets in this interview, so sit back and enjoy the ride.
Welcome to another RCU live event, sponsored, of course, by the Restaurant Coach University. It is the premier online learning platform for restaurants that want to maximize their potential and those who understand that school is never really out for the true professional. Hey, tonight we're going to talk about a topic that is kind of always a hot button with restaurants, and that's customer service. See, customer service has really taken a beating over the last few years, and to help me talk about why this has happened and what you can really do to turn this around, I'm really honored to have tonight Andrew Carlson on the show. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
Great. How are you doing?
Excellent. Excellent. How are things in the sunny LA, huh?
Finally, it's getting back to becoming warm again. So I know everyone that doesn't live in LA is like, oh, it's not that cold, but it gets cold. Trust me.
Oh, yeah. 50. Yeah. People are on the East Coast, battling a blizzard right now. And, you know, oh, it's like 45 degrees here. I don't know what to do. I think when it hits 50 in LA, everyone like freaks out. And then you start seeing all those parkas on. And the news flash that, you know, global warming's real because it's hit LA. It affects us now. They don't really care about anything until then. And then it's like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? So, hey, do us a little favor. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself? Just, you know, some people on the show don't maybe not know who you are. So go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much for having me on the show, by the way. Well, my name is Andrew Carlson, and I am a restaurant coach and consultant that helps with customer service. I've been in the restaurant industry for about 13 years now. Since I was 13 years old, I was able to work in the restaurant industry through family friends, and I just absolutely fell in love with it. And there was always something about the restaurants that just gave me life, and it was the energy, the drive, just how everything ran so smoothly, and it was just a well-oiled machine. And I just love the science behind restaurants, and which is why I continue to want to help restaurants every single day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically, you're crazy. No.
A little bit. Yeah.
That's what people tell me. So people say, so you were in the restaurant business for a long time, and then you got out, and then you did consulting, and now you do coaching, and you still like it. And I go, yeah. And they go, you have something wrong with you, right? And I go, yeah, I do.
We're all a little crazy.
I would say that kind of joke, you know, bad restaurants are a disease. I'm the cure. So
I like that.
So tell us a little bit, maybe some experiences that you've had with like some bad customer service. Give us like a horror story.
Oh, man. I mean, there's kind of a lot. So, I mean, one of the worst stories that I've had was when I first moved out to Los Angeles, because I lived in Minnesota. That's where I was raised, not born. But in the Midwest, we have, you know, Minnesota nice, and everyone's just super nice, super hospitable, at least to the restaurants that I went to. Moved down to New Orleans. Southern hospitality, everyone treated you like you were a king or a queen or royalty, and I loved it. And then I moved out to LA, where people don't work in restaurants to work in restaurants. They're actors, they're writers, they're everything except a server or wanting to work in a restaurant. Mm-hmm. So it was my first day in LA. I was so excited, and I went into this restaurant, and it wasn't the cheapest restaurant. So I was like, I'm probably going to get great service. This is going to be awesome. I can't wait to try the cuisine in Los Angeles. And I walked in, and then I was ignored. And then the lady at the host stand, after 15 minutes, I approached her, and I was like, do I have to ask for a reservation? How can I get a table? Like, I would love to dine here tonight. And she just looked at me and was basically like, just you? And I was like, well, yeah, just moved out here from Los Angeles. And
don't have any friends yet.
And she was just like, well, let me see what we can do. And meanwhile, the restaurant was basically empty. 5 o'clock, it was one of those restaurants that gets busy later on in the in the evening. And she's like, well, you can sit at the bar. And I sat at the bar and then, again, waited 20, 25 minutes just to get, you know, an introduction saying, hey, how's it going? Here's a menu. I ordered a drink. It was very watered down. It took me a long time to get that. And just over the course of the whole time, there was, like, they just didn't care. Like, you could tell the manager was just non-existent, probably sitting in the office. Right. I don't know. Like, I had asked to talk to the manager and never came out to say anything. But it was just basically like pulling teeth just to try to have some kind of service. And I was not used to that. And the restaurant industry in Los Angeles, the food community is booming now. Especially out here with all the great food and the cuisines out here. And things have gotten a lot better from 5 years ago when I first moved out to Los Angeles. But before, that was kind of the norm, where it was just like pulling teeth every time you'd want to go somewhere, unless you were like a celebrity or someone that was famous or well-known in the area. Nobody really wanted to take care of you.
Right. Yeah. Oh, and you are so right about Southern hospitality. I have a couple, I have some clients in like Louisiana, and I'm telling you right now, they are so polite, you know?
Oh, everyone, yeah. You know, it's like a different world.
Yeah, Mr. Donald, can I get you anything, Mr. Donald? Would you like something, Mr. Donald? I'm like, you people are so polite. I cannot believe how polite people are.
And so, they were genuine. That's the difference down in the South. Really, they were genuine.
Right, right. Yeah. So, you know, you're like me. We travel around quite a bit, you know, working with restaurants around the United States. And I always say, you know, there's plenty of restaurants out there that need help. So, you know, there's plenty of business for both of us. So, and
absolutely.
What are some of the solutions that you see maybe, you know, to kind of help fix this kind of epidemic we have, you know, with just poor average service?
Yeah, it starts with the foundation. It starts with, like, before even talking about culture, we have to go even further than that and talk about, I know you've talked a lot about this, but it's just the core values of who you are as a restaurant. Like, what is it that you want to stand for? What's your message that you want to tell the world and that you want to tell your community? If you don't want to, you know, continue to expand and take over the world, what are you doing to make a difference in your community? Because that's the people that are going to be supporting you. And then if you don't have an understanding of what your core values are, of course, your employees aren't even going to have an understanding of how to interact with customers, with each other, and how to even have that conversation.
Right. Yeah, core values, I mean, I always say it's a foundational element that you have to have. And I'm always shocked. I am shocked and shocked and shocked how many restaurants do not really have or really know their core values, or they just picked out some random words, you know, that they saw somewhere. You know, hospitality. Sure. What's your core values? Oh, hospitality, teamwork. Interesting. But I don't see anybody working as a team around here. So,
what does that even mean?
Yeah. What does that even mean? It's funny. I just wrote a couple articles about teamwork, and one is going up on Toast, I think, actually tomorrow. It's about teamwork.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. And it's funny because, we just don't understand what teamwork really is. And that's usually the biggest problem is no one knows what teamwork is. You know?
Absolutely.
Not today. Not in today's market.
Well, it's all about what can you do for me? They're all thinking that way. And then the restaurant owner just gets frustrated. Like, well, my team's not doing what I asked them to do because they're not working as a team.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, sometimes teamwork doesn't work because I think we have some misconception about what teamwork is. You know, a lot of people think, you know, teamwork is everyone getting along and, you know, and everyone's sitting around, you know, having a good time. Everyone's, you know, singing Kumbaya in the kitchen. That's not going to happen.
Not
in this lifetime. No. Sometimes getting along is not really actually a good thing for teams.
No, sometimes it can become a virus.
Yeah. You know, because then they get, especially people who have maturity and they can't make that divide between, you know, friendship and work. You know, you've seen the people, absolutely. And, you know, it's fraternization's big. It's 11 o'clock at night. You get off work. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go out. And you go out and you have a couple drinks. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, you're having a fun time. And next morning, you're there. And, like, you know, you're the manager or leader. And you say, hey, man, I need you to do this. Why do you want my case? I thought we were friends. It's like, we are friends. But, you know, we had a couple drinks last night. Big deal. Let's go. Let's get to work. You know, but people have a hard time.
Exactly. Let's get to work.
Let's get down to work. Get to work. Yeah. So you've got a book coming out, right?
Yeah, I have a book coming out in probably about a week or two. And it's called Customer Service is the Bottom Line, because I believe one of my core values are that restaurants are basically you're peering into the soul or, you know, the mind of whoever's restaurant it is, and you're looking into their story and you're getting an understanding of who they are. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so beautiful about restaurants, because somebody has taken the time, the energy, the money, and put in, they wanted to share this creation with the mm-hmm. world, and then they fall short when it comes to customer service. And restaurants that want to make money, they just look at different marketing. How can we spend money to make more money? How can we continuously bring more people into our business? But they're not focusing on the people that are coming in already. Like, mm-hmm. they're not focusing on empowering your teams enough to be able to, you know, take care of those customers, especially the customers that come in on a regular basis. How are your employees empowered to make a difference in their life? Just because they keep coming every week doesn't mean you have to continuously give them free things. Right. But how can you elevate their experience every single time that they come in? How can you make that big of an impact on them where we'll want them to come in another time this week? If they only come in twice a week or twice a month, how can we get them in the doors one more time? Not only is that going to boost your bottom line as a restaurant owner right away, because there's, you know, upselling techniques and there's different ways to boost sales solely through your customer service. And that's why I wanted to write the book, because nobody is talking about that. And you've seen that customer service and just how we have that whole experience for the customer has gone down, and how can we bring that back?
Yeah, I think you and I are both on a kind of similar mission. In fact, I love your mission. It's on your website. Tell everybody what your mission statement is, because I think it's really, really, I like it a lot. So I was going to steal it.
I'm on. You can go right ahead. Be my guest. But honestly, I'm on a mission to bring back customer service to every restaurant in America. It's not just about, you know, Sally McGee, who just had enough money to open the doors, or somebody who had tons of money and it's this extravagant, elegant place. But we're, you know, working with people's livelihood here. They want to share that with you. So mm-hmm. I want to be able to impact the lives of a million restaurant owners, because if I can even help one restaurant owner, those restaurants are hiring people. They have employees that they provide a livelihood for. Right. So it's not just impacting, you know, the restaurant owner. It's also impacting the pockets of all the employees that can continue to, you know, be employed by the restaurant. Because I've seen that so many restaurants have closed down because they were okay with being average. They were okay with okay customer service. They didn't have a training program. And then they're trying to figure out why customers didn't come back.
Right.
But if you can continue to elevate and amplify that service, of course people are going to want to continue to come back again and again and again.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm a big believer like you that, you know, it's the addiction average, which is killing most restaurants. You know, mm-hmm. most people just absolutely. Think average. And the sad thing is that, you know, average has become the standard, you know?
Yeah. And it's not just the standard, it's normalized now.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate, because there's restaurants that open up as fast casual restaurants and they just think, oh, I can be like a fast food restaurant. But mm-hmm. I'm paying $15, $16, $17, $18 for a meal and something to drink, and I'm not getting any better service than I would getting a $6 burger at a fast food joint. So there's a huge disconnect there when it comes to, you know, just wanting to be average. And sometimes it's because they've put all of their resources into everything else, that they don't have a proper training program in place. And that's what I talk a lot about in my book, is having the right training program in place to be able to have your employees do exactly what you want them to do, and to be able to provide a level of, you know, an experience for the customer that they're not going to get down the street. And that's the restaurants that are sticking around, because there was an article on, I think it was Eater, that said the restaurant, there's a restaurant bubble and it's about to pop, and restaurants are slowly closing down. And you wrote an article about the death of restaurants. Mm-hmm. And the ones that are sticking around for the long haul are going to be the ones that really do put that time and energy and resources into a training program to understand their core values, to understand who they are and what impact that they want to make in their community, and then to be able to have that reflected with your employees and the level of service that you provide.
Exactly. Do you think, would you say, from your experience, you think most restaurants train enough?
No, not even close. Because, well, a lot of the times there's so much, there's so much turnover in restaurants, and they they just kind of throw in the towel, and they're like, what's the point if people are going to continue to leave? And I'm a huge believer that the restaurant industry needs to do a lot better of a job creating leaders, more leaders, because even if they leave, they can look back on the experience that they had at your restaurant and know it can get expensive. But it's more expensive to have a mediocre employee than it is to have somebody that's super well-trained and is going to make a difference and an impact in the industry later on down the road.
Exactly. Yeah, one of the things I usually get in, you know, when owners like to try to, you know, throw, I always say, you know, they like to throw out these limiting beliefs, which basically limiting beliefs are what I call bullshit. So, you know, you know, and one of the favorite ones is like, oh, there's no good people out there. And then my comeback usually is, well, there's plenty of good people out there. Maybe you're just not the kind of restaurant that is attracting talent. Maybe it's not them. Maybe, you know, I always do it, you know, maybe it's you. Maybe you don't have the kind of restaurant that people want to come work at, you know, so.
That's that is everything, especially when there's so much competition right now in restaurants.
It's just crazy.
Maintaining, you know, having that level of interaction and employee satisfaction within the restaurant. Because if they're not, if the employees aren't being taught and they're not learning, of course they're going to find, even if the money's not better than what they're making at your restaurant, they're looking for growth. They're looking for opportunities of how to be a leader, even if it's not in the restaurant industry, even in Los Angeles. People are looking for growth, whether it's just on a personal level, a professional level. And if you can't provide that for them, then they're going to look elsewhere and go somewhere where they will take the time to put that investment into you.
It's human nature. We are wired to grow. We're wired to become better. We're wired to evolve. I mean, and if you don't provide the opportunity, you know, and I've seen people leave jobs, and not for the money, just because there was opportunity and growth. And if you're not providing that kind of infrastructure in your restaurant, in your organization, just anything. I mean, don't be too shocked when your back door is basically a revolving door of turnover, because you don't have a really good solid training system and a culture that basically really has that kind of desire to be better. And, you know, I use the word, like you, I use the word world-class a lot. A lot of people say, well, I'm just a small mom-and-pop place, so I can't be world-class. Yeah, everybody could be world-class. Here's my definition of world-class. World-class is being the best you can be to your potential. That's not me, you know, I'm the same as, like, you know, Per Se in New York City, or the French Laundry, or, you know, Herb Saint in New Orleans. No, I'm basically, you know, whatever you are, just be the best you can be, the best version of that for you. That's world class, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we all kind of think that world class is, you know, Michelin stars and ratings and, you know, write-ups in magazines and stuff like that. And yeah.
Not absolutely. All. I love that definition.
Not that at all. It's not that at all. So, hey, if I was going to say, if recipe was a you know, if success was kind of a recipe, what would you say are three ingredients you'd have to throw in that mix? Okay.
Oh, three ingredients. So first one would be your hiring process. To hire correctly the first time.
Yes.
And then the second one is going to be to train properly and continuously. You know, that's the stir in the pot. You can't just train once and then expect it not to burn. Last thing, the last ingredient is to create an environment of learning, you know, to create ownership in your employees to continue to, you know, mm-hmm. just so they're continuously learning to grow, but make it their own, like make them treat it like it's their own. Most people are coming in mm-hmm. to work, they'll clock in, they'll do what they have to do and just to be able to be enough to get by, and right. then they'll, you know, clock out. And they'll try to get by with the least amount if they don't have any ownership in their position. So if you create that, you know, environment of learning where they're continuously growing and it will feel like their own, mm-hmm. then of course that it's going to create a recipe for success.
Yeah, and that goes back to culture and core values. I mean, if you have that kind of, you know, if you say we're a learning culture, not just a training culture, but we're a learning culture and we're mm-hmm. constantly learning, we're constantly improving, you know, and my clients, I definitely get them on the track about learning, you know, and we definitely set up learning cultures. I had a client today ask me, hey, what are your top five Audible books that you listen to? And so I sent him right away my top five Audible books. Now, and then I was like looking at my library and I have like 501 Audible books in my library. I'm like, I listen to quite a bit of Audible, you know.
For sure.
They should sponsor the show. That's what I'm thinking. So what
you, absolutely.
Yeah, what are some things you like to do to keep yourself educated, you know, and learning all the time? What are some, you know, maybe some tricks or maybe some blogs that you like, you know, or websites you like or books you like or something you've read lately?
For sure. I mean, the first thing that I really enjoy is Restaurant Unstoppable. It's a podcast, and it's one of those podcasts that are for restaurants, mm-hmm. and he is devoted to restaurants, and he gets, you know, high-class people. Not just famous people, but people mm-hmm. with integrity and character yeah. that truly care about making a difference in restaurants. And that's one of the things that I listen to religiously on, you know, every single day. I'll listen to another episode, even if it's something I've heard before. There's always going to be something else that I missed the first time listening to.
Right, right.
Then, of course, Foodable is a website that I've written for, you've written for. And it's the... Paul
we call that a shameless plug.
Yes, but honestly, the content that's coming out of Foodable is so good. They do a really great job at continuously to find people yes. that, you know, truly believe in making a difference, and mm-hmm. that's one of the things that I do. Of course, Audible. I listen to everything on 1.5, and sometimes I'll have to rewind a little bit and to catch everything. Mm-hmm. But every single morning I'm listening to something, whether it's something I've already listened to or when my credits come rolling in every single month, you know, that's when I'll be able to purchase new stuff. But
yeah.
And then the last thing that I do is I don't just look at restaurant industry stuff. I'm looking at what's mm-hmm. working in other industries exactly. and how we can yeah. implement those learnings in the restaurant industry to make it better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you look at outside our industry, you know, look like Zappos. I mean, Zappos is a great, you know, great lesson there about culture and about, you know, taking care of the employees and also mm-hmm. taking care of the guest. I mean, if you look outside our industry, there's some great examples out there that you could tap into, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's kind of how I got started in restaurants, was I just started working in a restaurant. But then I went into the film industry, and I started learning all about different management styles and how different industries work. But then I came back to the restaurant industry, and I was like, there's a disconnect in this industry because people open restaurants not because they have been in the industry for an extended period of time. Right. Some people weren't even chefs. Some people were working in finance or in, mm-hmm. you know, investments. And then they're like, I really want to open up a restaurant. And they don't know anything about the restaurant industry. It's a totally different business than, like, business is business at the end of the day, but there's something special about restaurants, which makes it so exciting and makes yeah. it so difficult at the same time.
I always say the downside about the restaurant business is that anybody with a checkbook can open a restaurant, you know.
Yeah.
That's the downside.
Absolutely.
And there's actually been some people like call me, you probably get the same thing, people call me for consultation that they're thinking about opening a restaurant. And I have to say, my first thing I try to do is I try to talk them out of it because I really want them to be sure of it. So I really want to understand what you're getting into. Do you really understand what you're getting into? You think you're going to walk around just like, you know, it's going to be like in the movies where you're just like the ultimate host walking through a dining room wearing a tuxedo. People are going to throw money at you and stuff like that. No. It's going to be you back on a Friday night, your hand down the, you know, with a stick trying to unclog the garbage disposal, you know, you back there, you know, making drinks because the bartender didn't show up, you know, it's you back there on the fry station on a Friday night because, you know, two cooks didn't show up and now you're the fry guy. It's, you know, you got to understand.
Yeah, you have to have every skill.
But I tell you what, if I tell them all that and they're still like, yeah. That sounds exciting to me. I'm like, all right, let's do this. All right. All right. You're crazy too. Let's do this. All right. You know, I had two restaurants.
I like you. Hey,
I can get along with you. We could share medication, you know. All right. I get you.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
That's too funny.
Oh. So. Yeah, and I love Audible. I mean, it's been huge. And Eric at Restaurant Unstoppable, probably one of my, it's always bookmark on my things. I love his stuff. Mm-hmm. And like you said, he talks to all kinds of people, not just people in the restaurant industry. He talks to all kinds of people. And also, too, Sean over at Entrepreneur Chef, him and Chris Hill have a new podcast, Making the Cut. Again, they are interviewing some world-class, you know, thought leaders, you know, like Simon Sinek and stuff like that. It's really, really another great podcast. And also I like Lewis Howes too, his School of Greatness, another great podcast.
That's great.
You know, awesome, awesome stuff out there. Yeah. So the book's coming out in a couple weeks, right?
Yes. And actually it's not going to be on my website for very long. But if you go to my website right now, I know this is the reason why I'm self-publishing this one, because I am on a mission to inspire restaurant owners across the world. So currently the ebook is, since it's not out yet, I'm offering it for free for people that go to my website and just put it on there, like so put their email address in there so I can.
So go, you know, now. Get it.
But I'll probably get yelled at because they're like, we're going to launch it. And I'm like, I know, but I just want to be able to put it in people's hands. Like, I'm just so passionate about it. I just want to get it out there and make sure people that need it can, you know, they'll be able to utilize it. Because I, even in my book, I talk about the importance of creating a secret shopper program and why I don't always agree with, you know, secret shopper companies that have never been in the restaurant industry before. They're going to send somebody that is not even qualified, just somebody they got off Craigslist and is like, oh, here's $20, go to my restaurant. Mm-hmm. And they're like checking off the box because they want to get a free lunch. And then they charge the restaurant $5,000 for these random analytics. And I'm like, no, that's not how this works. You don't understand the industry.
Yeah. And it gets me, it gets my blood pressure going just talking about those. Secret shoppers are great if you have professionals who know the industry. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, too, I think is another key element of secret shopper reports is I think that you have to have the same person has to go back, you know, because everyone's going to have a different experience, you know, and everyone's going to have a different perception. If I go to a restaurant, you and I could go to the same restaurant, same time, and you and I would have totally different, a whole different story or narrative about the thing. I would see things that you might not see, and you would see things I wouldn't see. And so secret shopper reports are very like that in the sense that, so I got somebody coming every month to shop my restaurant, but they're not the same people. So now I got random stuff that I really don't have any, you know, telltale kind of thread of what's really going on. I got random this stuff here, random stuff there. And before I know it, you know, And the problem, I think, with secret shopper reports, from what I've seen with clients, is that they all take them, like, as soon as they get a bad shopper report, it's like DEFCON 1, and we are on high alert, and everything is changing. We're changing the menu, where everyone's getting retrained, we suck, you know, and they just, like, they want to scrap everything and start over. No, let's not get crazy, okay? Let's take it for the... I say one secret shopper report is like the end of the world, and not the, you know, they want to hit that the doomsday button. You know, that's it.
Fire everyone.
Let's nuke it all.
Get a new crew.
Fire everyone. I'm just starting over tomorrow. No, let's not do that. Let's calm down a little. No, I fired.
Look at this ledge. Report.
Yeah, it's like okay. I tell them, like, wait till we get, like, maybe 4 or 5, and we start maybe seeing some threads. And yeah, then, sure. Then we can make an action plan on how to fix it, mm-hmm. You know? And almost every time, it always goes back to what you talk about all the time, training. So, you know, we just don't train mm-hmm. people properly or train people frequently or consistently, you know? Mm-hmm. Or we have people on the floor who are supposed to be the leaders, and their standards, you know, are kind of fluctuate, mm-hmm. you know. One day their standards are high, next day their standards are low.
Yeah, for sure.
Next day their standards are really low because they're maybe not in a really good mood and they're mad and they had a fight with their spouse and they come to work and now you guys do whatever you want. Oh, how much side work should we do? How much civil war should I roll? I don't care. Do whatever you want. You know what I mean? So it's too hit and miss.
And, yeah. And then that's toxic in itself.
Oh, that's very toxic. Yeah. I always, you know, and I'm like you, I tell people all the time, you know, the best thing you can do is, you know, if you want to change a restaurant, I mean, tonight, tomorrow, you know, overnight, I mean, right now, it's a simple decision. All you got to do is make a decision that you're going to raise your standards and you are not going to lower the bar, no matter what. Mm-hmm. I would say, remember Top Gun? I know I'm dating myself here, you know, yeah. Top Gun with Tom Cruise, you know, but he makes, you know, at first he's kind of like this, you know, cocky, do whatever he wants, kind of fly boy, and then he kind of learns the lesson, and then towards the end, he's got this guy on him, and, you know, his pilot, you know, his guy in the back's like, you know, gotta get off, we gotta move, he goes, I'm not leaving my wingman, you know, no matter what, right? And that's why, when you set your standards in your restaurant, that has to be your motto. I am not leaving my standards, no matter what, you know?
Absolutely.
I don't care if, you know, whoever walks in the door, I'm not violating the standards of my restaurant just for one person. So,
mm-hmm. And that's where you have to get to, is you don't want to violate those standards.
No.
Like, even everyone on your team, even mm-hmm. to the entry-level busboy, like, you have to make sure that they don't want to violate your standards.
Yeah.
Because then it's a trickle-down effect, especially if the management or the owners start violating, then it starts trickling down and everyone's like, well, then I can get away with anything. I could get away with murder if I wanted to, because nobody's going to do anything about it.
Murder, huh? The walk-ins are a good place. The walk-ins are insulated. No one can hear you
screaming.
Can't hear the scream in the walk-in. My father was a chef, and he used to take people. He was an old school chef. This is like, you know, late 70s mm-hmm. and 80s, you know, and he'd take you into the walk-in, and he'd have what was this. And I don't condone this, okay? This is like old school. Old school doesn't work anymore because there's laws mm-hmm. nowadays. But, you know, he would take you into the walk-in and do what was called a wall-to-wall counseling session, and yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Just basically up against the wall. What are you doing? You're an idiot. You know? Yeah. My father was a great example of, my father really pushed me to be a really good chef. And he was a great example of what not to be as a leader. So
exactly.
Yeah.
There's always a lesson.
There's always lessons. What's that saying? It's either a lesson or a blessing, right?
Exactly. Oh, I like
that's it. It's either a lesson or a blessing. One of the two. If you can take the lesson and learn from mm-hmm. it and apply it, and that's I think is the biggest thing. You know, if you're not getting the results you want, you got to change the thing. You know.
Absolutely. And there's definitely that's another aspect of customer service. It's not just about providing the best service. It's about mm-hmm. how are you following up with the customers when they've had a bad experience?
Yeah.
How are you, you know, how are management, how are your employees handling those situations? Are they handling them right away, or are they kind of just brushing them off and
right.
not really caring about them?
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing you see, you know?
Mm-hmm.
People just not having any kind of... So, you got any projects coming up? Any, you know, I know you do a lot of public speaking and you do a lot of seminars. Anything coming up lately?
Not... publicly, I do a lot. I'm reaching out to a lot of the associations to go out and have, you know, those trainings, but I'm putting a seminar, a couple seminars together for next year.
Oh, cool.
So I'm working on projects for seminars and live events, but it's not one of those things that you can just decide to do 1 week and then you're like, I'm done. Here it is. So also nobody's sitting in the seats. You're like, probably should have marketed that a little better.
Well,
I
got a project I'm working on. I'll talk to you about later. Oh, and I got a funny story to say too. So this, you know, this whole week I've been like really promoting this, you know, the broadcast tonight, and I went on, you know, all kinds of social media, and I said, you know, the doctor of customer service, you know, Andrew Carlson's going to be on, you know, the thing, and so, and I hate to say, I'm really popular. I don't know why. In Germany, Italy, and Spain. I don't know why. I'm like the David Hasselhoff of German, like, restaurant experts, I guess. I don't know if that's a good thing. That's probably a bad thing if you're the David Hasselhoff.
No, it's probably a good thing.
I don't know. It's probably not. But anyway, so someone saw that I had marketed you as, you know, the doctor of customer service. So they sent me an email, you know, oh, I saw you agreeing to have, you know, the doctor of customer service on your show. What school do I have to go to, or what school offers a doctorate in customer service? So I'm like, I don't think you can get a
school of hard knocks.
Yeah, the school of hard knocks, basically. I mean, and I think we talked about it. I mean, you can get like maybe a master's in hospitality. Does anybody know if you can get
I don't think.
I don't think. Can you get a PhD in? Interesting question.
Maybe.
If anybody else, anybody out there on Facebook knows the answer to that, or, you know, please let us know, because we're kind of intrigued by the dilemma of it. So, but, you know.
It would be an interesting doctorate degree to have.
Yeah, yeah. That would be an interesting one. Yeah, I always say working in the restaurant business is almost like, especially I've been in it 35 years. To me, it's like getting a degree in like psychology, especially dealing with people and human behavior, behavioral psychology. You know,
yeah.
That's why I have these glasses. It's like, why do you feel that way?
I mean business.
Yeah, and how's that make you feel? That's deep. Yeah.
Just start writing random notes.
I just got a pad and I'm just like sketching my, shopping list. Milk. But I think I'm writing. Like, why do you feel that way? You always, this whole trick in coaching and consulting is ask questions and then throw another question in there. And why do you feel that way? Okay. And how does that make you feel? You know, I'm giving away all the trade 100%. Secrets. I'm giving away all the trade secrets. Oh, no. So how can people get a hold of you? What's your website address?
It's andrew-carlson.com.
Yes.
Andrewcarlson.com was taken, and he's refusing to sell it to me. So it's andrew-carlson.com.
There is a Donald Burns out there. He's a resume writer in Florida. He's an older gentleman. So I'm thinking, I'm just waiting. So he's got donaldburns.com. I got donaldburns.net, but I do own the restaurantcoach.com. That was a premium domain name I got, but it all goes to donaldburns.net. And Donald Burns,
you're waiting
in Florida. I'm waiting for you.
We're coming for you.
I'm waiting for you. You don't look too good. I think maybe you got pneumonia. I don't think you don't look too good. You don't sound too good. I don't know, man. Might be time to let that
adventure.
Let that domain name go, my friend. Let it go. You know. Oh, someone asked if we're going to the Pizza Expo this year. Are you going to the Pizza Expo? I'm not going this year.
No, not this year. I'm not going.
I know, huh?
I wish. And
we have another question here. Hello, Andrew and Donald. In essence, how would you define customer service? And what is the bottom line definition for customer service? That's you. What would you say it defines customer service?
Huh, that's a tough question. I mean, in essence, how would I define customer service? It's all in experience. It's all in how are you making the customer, how are you impacting the customer's day? How are you making it better? Because they're walking in, even if they're having the best day of their life, they just got a promotion. How are you elevating that day? How are you making a difference in their life? And how are you going to make it better? And if they're having a bad day, how are you going to turn that around?
Yes.
And that's, at the end of the day, the essence of customer service is how are you treating the guests that come in? Because it's not the restaurant owner that's paying the bills. It's the customers that are paying the bills to make sure that we're constantly staying in business. And if you're not focusing on service at all, even the back of house needs to focus on service. It's not just the front of house thing. I think that definitely needs to work together as a team, but how are we all working as a team to make sure that this customer, doesn't matter if they've been here the first time or the millionth time, how are we making their day better and how are we impacting the community at, on that level?
Yeah, that's true. I always say customer service is basically, treating the guests in the manner that they want to be treated, and that's doing some investigation and finding out how they want to be treated. Do they want to be treated like that? Why are we ultimately elevating exceptional customer service?
Well,
there's always another level. I mean, I think
there's always.
Yeah, I always think if you think that our service has reached the pinnacle and the peak, you're done. All right, because there's always a next level. It always gets revolved. And here's the thing, too. The market changes, too. And you have to adapt to the market. Look at restaurants as they were. I mean, a couple years ago, that bar and grill kind of concept, Chili's, Applebee's, man, they were huge. They were popular. People loved them. Mm-hmm. Now they are struggling,
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because nobody's taking the time to – customer service isn't just a copy-paste kind of situation. Everything has to be experience-based and personalized for each customer. One of the best servers or the best employees, even if the chef walks out to the table and is like, how is everything? Mm-hmm. It's not just about making sure that everything's okay. It's making sure that the whole experience that they have has been better than the last time they were here. Right. Or they've never heard of your restaurant, and this is their first time. What are you doing to wow them to make sure that they come back again and again and again?
Let me ask you a question. How do you love that when you're there having dinner and the manager, or floor manager walks up to you and asks you, how is everything?
Oh, I hate that question.
Oh.
Hate that question. Because they'll come to the table and they'll be nodding their head, yes. How is everything? Or is everything good?
Everything okay?
And they want you to say it's good.
Yeah.
But the minute you kind of be like, well, they're like, oh, well, I'm glad you're having a good time. And they'll run away. And that doesn't fix the problem at all.
Yeah.
So the question I always like to ask people that are dining at restaurants is, what could we have done better to make you, to have a better experience? Or if they're regulars, what can we do to bring them in one more time during the week? You notice that they've come in once a week. What can we do to bring them in two times a week or three times a week? Because that's the real kicker. Is if we can get those people to come back in again and again and again, the restaurant owners can focus on getting more customers that have never heard of you before, while the management and the employees continuously retain those customers.
Oh, here's another good question. Would you agree that in the essence, we drive total customer service to increase sales?
100%. Yes.
Yeah. But I don't 100%. Think. But I think one of the things to do is don't focus on the end result. Don't focus on just the sales. If you focus on the sales, you get lost in all the things that need to happen before that. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Like building a culture, building a training environment, appreciating the team, hiring for personality over skill. Those things are important. If we just basically keep focused on, the sale, we lose a lot of stuff in translation. So,
For sure.
Yeah. And how, what are some things you would recommend maybe, cause I see this is a huge, I think, dilemma or epidemic in the industry. And one my mission to solve is to break down that wall. You know, we all have those barriers and stuff like that. Front of the house versus back of the house.
Oh, yeah.
Day staff versus night staff. Good versus evil. You know? It's pretty much that's how they think it is. Yeah. You know, it's us against them. You know, so what are some things you recommend that you could make maybe break down those barriers between front of house, back of house? Let's start with that one.
I mean, just not having people that are solely nights and not solely mornings, because that's how you have the difference between the morning crew and the night crew. You know, the night crew's better. The night crew people, that the customers that come in, they're more lackadaisy, where the mornings they're like, don't talk to me, I just want my coffee. Right. And then water with lemon or something. And then the servers go, that drives them nuts. But just having first of all, the culture is everything. The culture is going to be everything when it comes to, you know, your core values at the end of the day. I'm going to constantly be going back to that. And then what I also have been doing and what's worked really well is having some of the front of house people be mentored by the back of house people. So then if it does get busy and the back of house needs a hand, people are trained to jump in and help. It shouldn't just be the manager, because sometimes if the manager is helping in the back of house, he can't focus on sometimes the customers that are happening,
right?
Like the issues that the customers with customers. So if we can have somebody that can just jump in the back really quick and help out, bust out the, you know, 15 tickets that keeps printing and printing and printing, and we're like, what's happening? It's not stopping.
Right.
And be able to mentor that. Right. And then with that culture of, you know, just learning, then the back of house is going to learn how to interact with the front of house. Because right now, the front of house is like, I need something immediately, even though they've just rung in six tables and expect the back of house to be okay with that.
Right, right. Yeah, I think one of the biggest things to do is just stop using the words. Stop dividing your team up by saying front of house, back of house. You know, I think words are so powerful, and you're a big believer in that too. And you know, we kind of create those kind of divisions with our team by, you know, basically saying, well, you're front of the house, you're back of the house. You know, and I do like that whole thing about cross-training and mentoring and giving people a glimpse into the other side of, you know, of other people's jobs. I make the joke all the time is, you know, walk a mile in someone else's shoes, because number one, you're a mile away and you got their shoes. So, you know.
You're a wise man.
I got it.
Well,
here's another question. Which trade show venues do both of you participate in? Do you do any trade show venues?
I've been going to a lot more lately. I want to go to the ones Foodie or
the Foodable IO. The
Foodable one. Yeah, Foodable IO. Mm-hmm. That one's a really good one. Then I go to the National Restaurant Association venues. But I haven't been to the Pizza Expo yet.
No, the Foodable IO ones, I like the Foodable IO one because it's like the day before the National Restaurant Show launches. So it's great because you're in Chicago anyway. So you go to this really cool cutting edge thing. If you haven't checked out, go to foodable.io. It's a great website. It's a great little venue. They show it's really for innovators, people on the cutting edge, and really trendy too. So if you want to know where the next trends are going, Foodable.io is your ticket to check it out. And there's great panels there. I'm actually going to be a moderator this year at Foodable.io, so I'll be there. I'll also be at the National Restaurant Show this year, and then I want to get to the Western Food Service Expo in August, I think it is, and I'm probably going to get to the Florida Food Service Expo in September too. So, but that's the ones cool. I usually hit. So, nice question. Thank you so much for your question tonight. This has been great. We love questions. Love the questions. All right. Well, I want to thank Andrew so much for taking time to stop by and sharing a lot of stories and stuff like that. Make sure you do go to his website. I will make sure to have all the links in the post here later. I'll upload them in there. And go get his book while it's free. Oh, wait, I'm not supposed to say that. Never mind. Don't.
No, you can say that. Everyone that's listening right now, you can get the book for free. Just don't tell the people helping me publish my book.
Don't tell the publishers. The publishers get upset when you give stuff away. Publishers do not like that when you give stuff away. Trust me.
No.
Right? So in my closing, basically, you know, I want to say, I'm sad to really say that average service has really become the standard, and because average is really a failing formula. You know, more restaurants enter the market every day, and while there are a lot of talented chefs out there, it's the addition of outstanding customer service that separates those that are stuck kind of in the land of average to the outstanding. And here's my final thing. Don't be average, because being average sucks. And with that, we're going to sign off.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Restaurant Coach Podcast with Donald Burns. Tune in next time as we serve up more ways to maximize your potential. Visit our website at www.donaldburns.net or download episodes at iTunes and Stitcher Radio.